Joe Cortez with the Fairbrook Firm Show here in Las Vegas with my co-host, John Zimmel. John, this past weekend.
Yes, sir.
We had some great fights.
A lot of action.
Good one here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And, of course, the favorite fighters ended up, both of them, winning.
Oh, yeah.
They go with the David Benavidez fight. Mm-hmm. That was the first fight as far as the headline of the fight here at the Mandalay Bay. David Benavidez looked very impressive.
Yes, he did.
Ronald Garville tried his best, but he did better in the first fight than he did in the rematch.
Of course, it was a split decision, the first fight.
Yeah, and what happened was that John Garville, I think he maybe overtrained. Mm-hmm. And like either that or Benavidez really prepared much better for Ronald Garville. Ronald was really he was getting hit left and right with all kinds of punches from the beginning, from round one all the way to the end. He didn't have Benavidez in danger at any time.
No.
I remember the first fight they had, he went down in the last round, Benavidez. I guess that scared him a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I better be super, super prepared. He has the height. He has good reach combinations from the outside, look good. And how do you take that fight?
I think rematches are always interesting in boxing. I mean, we've seen it since forever. I mean, we've seen it. You look back to some of the more iconic ones, the Nomas Leonard versus, obviously,
yeah, a lot of rematch fights.
A lot of great fights. Look at this Les Rungvisai versus Chocolatito fight.
Look at the rematch.
And you see, you look at that first fight, there's a lot of questions. Yeah. And you just see who comes out more prepared, who watches more film, who comes out ready to fight. Like, I was thinking Roberto Duran. I don't know why I was stuck on that. That was crazy.
Roberto Duran.
But when you saw the way Leonard re-prepared for the second one, I don't think everyone always, I mean, I think sometimes, even look at Mayweather-Maidana. That first one, I think he didn't take him so seriously. The next one, he did. And Benavidez really saw what Gavril had in that first fight. It was a split decision.
Yeah.
There was a lot of question marks about it. And when he came out for the number two, there was no question after this one.
Yeah, exactly.
It was unanimous and it should have been.
Yeah. And, you know, I have somebody on the line I want to put on, a young fighter by the name of Joey Spencer. Joey Spencer is a... It's a nice up-and-coming fighter. Let's put him on the line. Let's put his father on the line as well, his trainer. Jason Spencer, we're on the air here with the Fairbrook Firm Show. Joe Cortez here and my co-host here, John Zimmel. Jason.
Yes.
Your son, 17 years of age, he got a special permit to fight Saturday night here in Las Vegas, and he looked very impressive. Can you tell me a little bit about your son? And I'm sure, Joey, you're on the line as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good, good. I want to ask your father a couple of questions first. Jason, your son, when did he start boxing?
Well, he started boxing. He fought his first fight when he was 9. He actually picked up the gloves and had a lot of interest in it from the time he was old enough to walk, really, 4 or 5 years old. He's always wanting to hit the mitts and work and watch boxing. I tell people often that, when he was just a little guy, 7, 8 years old, he could watch a 12-round fight and not blink, never get bored. he just always had a love for the sport.
Now, were you a fighter yourself, Jason?
Yeah, I just boxed amateur in my 20s after high school. I took it up and boxed amateur a little bit and more as a hobby. And when I decided that it was a young man's sport and hung it up, my son came along and just wouldn't leave it alone.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, Joey, you're on the line there. Joey, let me ask you a question, Joey. You're 17 years of age. You're in the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Bob Bennett and the commission had to get a special permit, an approval, because you're underage to get a license here in Nevada. Most states are the same way. You got your license at the age of 17. You're a super welterweight, 154 pounds. You're 17, and you're still growing. You're going to probably grow another inch or two. And... tell me a little bit about the outcome of the fight Saturday night.
Saturday night was a great night. The knockout ended up coming in the second round. The TKO stoppage. I think there was 2 minutes left in the second round. The first round I went out and I was just hitting the body and making sure I paid attention to the body, hitting with some good shots upstairs. But the first knockdown came in the first round, coming off a body shot, a right hand to the body. And then the second round, I kind of rushed him at the beginning and ended up getting him out of there early second round.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I turned pro, when I was a young fighter at the age of 18, my trainer said, Joe, we want you to go out there. You're not the biggest knockout artist in the world, but we don't want you to knock these guys out. We want you to get more experience out there. showcase yourself a little bit. So, I would go out there and I would try to get as much work as I could because I was a beginner. Yeah, yeah. I was starting out in the beginning. It's good. You can knock these guys out, but sometimes you feel like, not that you want to carry them, but you want to just get a little bit more experience, a little more feel for these guys in front of you. That makes you a little bit sharper for the next fight. The more rounds you have, the more experience you get under the belt. You know, that's Jason, right. That's a trainer, Jason. You know what I'm talking about.
For sure.
I think your son is very impressive. He got a great style. He was really calm. He looked like a well-seasoned fighter. He didn't look like a beginner first pro fight. He came out like he's been around for a while already, which he has. Tell me a little bit, Joey, about your amateur career.
Actually, in the amateurs, I had nine national championships. I traveled with the U.S. world team. I was also ranked number one in the country for the last two or three years before I decided to turn pro.
Right, right. Okay. So you were already fighting in these amateur tournaments around the around the country, and you did well, winning how many national championships did you win?
I won nine national championships.
Nine. Okay, that's pretty impressive for a 17-year-old. So you definitely are championship material. I can see you going down the line as a very, very rising star in boxing. Now, Jason, what is the plan for your son's next fight?
Looks like they're talking about April 7th on the Lara card. That would be possibly in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
And that's what we're hearing right now.
Okay, so is that going to be a four-round or six-round or what?
I think it'll still be a four-round. Obviously, he's 17, so I don't we're not looking to moving too fast.
Right.
And I'm sure the second fight will still be another four-rounder.
Okay, good. That's good. Back in the old days, back in Madison Square Garden, to fight at the Garden, they wanted you to go in there with at least 15, 20 fights under your belt, and they were mostly all four- and six-round fighters. But now, now they're rushing them a little bit more, a little quicker, and these fighters have a lot of good styles. I like the techniques they have with the young fighters today. Some of the back in the old days, a lot of they were wars and they were slugfests. And I like to see good smart fighter, good thinking fighter out there, like Sugar Ray Leonard. These guys, and Roberto Duran, they were good thinking fighters. Not go out there and get your softball busted up. You got a smart, very intelligent. You last longer, your career lasts longer, like Floyd Mayweather. He was,
for sure,
at the age of 40, he was still fighting like a 20-year-old because he never really took much punishment. But I'll tell you, Joey, I want you to keep up the good work. You make me very proud of your talent, your charisma, and I have my co-host here, John Zimmer. He wants to ask you a couple of questions.
Thank you.
I got one question for you, Joey. How you doing, by the way? It's not my question.
Buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Hey, I was just checking out your Instagram. I noticed you have you met a lot of famous people, a lot of good boxers and athletes, from Triple G and Canelo to Andre Iguodala and Andre Ward, all the Andres. Let me ask, out of all the people that you've met, Joe Cortez included, what's the best piece of advice you ever got from anybody, in any sport, any athlete that you've met?
I think two stick out. Coming from Joe, I really appreciated what he said about, making sure I keep an eye on the people I keep around me, keeping it tight, keeping it close.
Of course.
Around me. That only makes sense, and that kind of hit home with me because a lot of fighters downfall when they get too many people who have their hand out around them. That's the downfall of fighters. So I want to make sure I keep my family, keep my immediate family first, and make sure that we all stick together. The people that I know have my back.
Absolutely.
And then also, yes. And then absolutely, Andre Ward also told me, not to really. I mean, obviously, the fans' approval can be important, but also to make sure you always fight your own fight and make your own moves, and not make moves based on what people think of you or what people are saying about you, and not to fight for other people's approval. Always to fight for do your best, make do the best of your ability, and make sure that you're not letting other people control you. And make sure you work hard in the gym, no matter who you're up against, whether it's a C-level opponent or the biggest fight of your life. Make sure you train the same. That's also another thing Andre Ward taught me.
That's awesome.
And, it'll keep warming you.
Well, those are both great pieces of advice, Joey. Thank you for answering that question for me, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Jason. We're talking to a few fans out there. Jason is the father, and Joey is the fighter. I mean, they both look like brothers. you look young yourself, Jason. So, but I'm glad to met you guys, and I met your daughter. She was very protective of your son, which is very good. She's 4 years older than your son, and as she says, I'm there to give him all the support and the advice, which is a good thing. So I was very, very pleased to see a nice family together because, you know, you see what's happening these days with these young kids, especially my heart goes out. My condolences to the families out in Florida with the shooting we had last week at the school with that 18-year-old kid. And so you got, that goes to show where there's not that the kid has some mental issues, I guess, where they came from a broken home. And there was that not there was no unity with the family, so the kid was kind of lost out there. And you saw what happened, the big mistake he made. That's why when I see people like yourself, Jason, who's supportive of your children, you're with them, and your Joey, I see you're a class act all the way. Even my wife, Sylvia, said, you know, what a nice young man. You know, what class, and your sister. So we take off our hats to you guys, Jason, the father, and Joey, and your sister. You guys are a class act, and that's what we need more for around the country. With that said, guys, I'm going to let you guys go for now. We'll talk again soon. Stay well. And remember, like I say, keep your guards up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times, all right?
Yes, sir, Joe.
All right,
thank
buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, guys.
That was nice.
Guys, you heard it there. You know, that was Joey and his father, Jason. I mean, what a nice... a fighter, and his father is I mean, you fans out there, you have to be there to see how this kid is a good, handsome young man from out there in Michigan, and he has great talent. He really...
Check him out on his Instagram, too. You can see he's got a lot of followers already, and he seems to have his head in the right place. I'll tell him that.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And he's definitely world championship material.
He's
championship material. There's no question about it. He's gonna go places.
He's got the potential, man.
Exactly. Now let's go to the main event Saturday night at Mandalay Bay. You know, we got Danny Garcia who fought Brandon Rios.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, of course, Garcia was favorite.
Brandon, as he should have been.
Yeah, Brandon Rios, you know, was always a tough fight. He had a great following. I say half of the fans, three quarters of the fans, and they were rooting for
Rios
for Brandon Rios, and had a good crowd out there at the Mandalay Bay, and I hear one of our fans has a question. So before we finish up with Danny Garcia and Brandon Rios, what's the question out there, Charlie? Oh, okay, yeah, the Victor Ortiz fight
of
with
course, Devin Alexander.
Tell us a little bit about that, John.
It was a good fight. I mean, it was. I don't know. It was. Look, the decision wasn't what I scored it or what anybody I've talked to scored it. It came out to a majority draw with two judges scoring it a draw and one scoring it in favor of Luis Ortiz, but I don't know anybody who saw, including myself, who didn't see Devin Alexander winning that fight. Luis Ortiz had a lot of heart and brought it into it.
Not Luis.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Victor.
Victor Ortiz. You're right.
Luis Ortiz is fighting Deontay Wilder.
That's so funny. I've been reading so much about that. Okay, yeah. No, I don't know anyone who saw. Yeah. Well, yeah, I definitely didn't know anyone who saw Luis Ortiz win it, but I don't know anyone who saw Victor Ortiz win it either. But you guys have some history. How'd you see that fight go down?
Well, I'll tell you that I feel sorry for Victor because, you know, I mean, he got a draw, but he got to go to the drawing board and hopefully have a rematch and see if he can really get that win again. But it's going to be tough.
He did fight with a lot of heart, though. Yeah, there's no question.
Victor has a big heart, you know. And, you know, we got to finish up with the Danny Garcia and Top. Brandon Rios fight.
Yeah.
But we got another... a listener on the phone there, and we're going to keep him on hold for a minute. But Danny Garcia, you know, he looked outstanding.
He did. Well, Rios looked pretty good in the beginning, considering. I expected it to be a domination throughout. Yeah. But Rios looked, I mean, he came out the first five rounds or so, and he looked way more impressive than I thought he would.
He was aggressive, you know. He's cutting off the rent.
Exactly.
I mean, I interviewed Danny Garcia after the fight with ESPN, and he said, Joe, you know, I was waiting. He was trying to cut the ring on me, but He said, I was waiting.
He waited for his opportunity, and when he got it.
And when he got it, you know.
Oh, I've watched that knockout so many times. It was crazy.
It's a shame to see that happen.
It does. But tell me why Rios now is upset. He said that the fight got stopped too early, that his corner.
Well, you know what? All fighters say that.
I know.
Because, you know, when you got the heart of a lion, like Brandon does, they're all going to say that, and we want to make sure.
And I got nothing but the utmost respect for that kid. But I think if he watched that fight again, he'd say the same thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it was, you know, Kenny Bayless did a good job.
Oh yeah,
he gave him the count. When he got up, he told him come forward. Came forward. He was, you know, still like
wobbling. Yeah.
He was still a concussive episode. He was there, but he wasn't there.
Oh, his lights turned off after that punch when he first fell. You could see it.
For the betterment of the fighter's well-being, it was the best. That the referee,
like you always
it.
Say, the referees always have that number one thing first, and that's health.
Safety. First, the safety of the fighters.
Number one, before competitiveness or anything else.
That's the most priority.
And it has to be. I mean, that's who else is looking out for it.
We got to watch out for it. We protect it like they're our sons, and we don't want to get it hurt.
Danny Garcia now, I mean, that's exciting because he's in there in the thick of it with that welterweight division. He looked good. He looked real good, and everybody else in that welterweight division has been looking good lately.
Oh,
you got, I mean, what about that little dust-up this weekend with Porter and Thurman?
Yeah.
I mean, those two are longtime friends and
longtime pals,
you know, but
they want to get it. They want to get back in the ring.
Exactly.
They want to do so. They got into each other's
Porter
face.
Porter does, that's for sure.
And they got into each other's face, and wow.
It's fun, man.
I like to see that
fight
happen.
Those two? And
they fought once already.
Yes.
And it was a controversial win for Keith Thurman back at the Barclays Center in New York about 2 years ago. But now we got one of the fans out there asking a question. What's the question they have?
Victor Ortiz? No.
And Brandon Rios? Well, you know what? I think these fighters have to, Brandon Rios have to really go back to the drawing board and look and see what he's going to do next. Like I said, you know, he took some punishment for that fight, and it was a pretty nasty knockout the way he went down, and he got up it didn't surprise me because that's Brandon Rios. He's that kind
exactly.
of guy. But he's one of the most lovable guys. You want to be always joking in the dressing room. I went in there before the fight to shake hands with him, and always in good spirit, and said, Joe, I'm going to win this fight tonight, and he tried, you know,
he gave it all he had, man. He really did. He fought hard. And he even says it. He says, I had a lazy jab. When you watch it, brought it back to his stomach, didn't bring it back to his hand. And Danny Garcia waited it out, found that one opportunity. And
That's why I tell these fighters, you throw that jab, pop, bring it back. You know, throw it, slip.
You can't bring it here.
You got to throw it up, pop, pop. But you throw it out and come down here to throw the right hand. That's where you make the mistake, you're open. Charlie, another question for one of the listeners.
You mentioned about safety. About Olympics,
the headgear. And the Olympics, they wear the headgears, yes. And they talked about doing that in the pros, but, you know, that really takes away from the boxing. You know, it'll take a lot away from boxing. You know, I think if you train right and if you have a good trainer and you protect yourself a lot better, that's why Floyd Mayweather didn't get hurt that much in his career. Why? Because he had good defense.
Maybe the best.
He had a good
trainer,
taught him. Sometimes you got to train the trainers. You know, to show your fighters, hey, listen, you're making a mistake. You
can hit and don't get hit. Maybe.
You look good with the right hand. Oh, the right hand is popping out good, but then now we're looking at the left hand.
Hit and don't get hit.
You throw the right hand, the left hand got to stay. But if you throw the right and this one goes back, you're open.
Bam.
And you got to, bam, throw it there. And if you throw this one,
it back,
you know,
baby.
And you also got to be bobbing and weaving. A lot of these guys, they don't slip. They don't. They're going to come forward, and that's where you're going to get hurt. Talking about moving enough, that's why a lot of fighters. Now you got Canelo Alvarez fighting
Triple G
again in Cinco de Mayo here in Las Vegas. Now, you know, Canelo Alvarez is going to be moving a lot more slipping punches.
He's a counterpuncher.
He's going to throw more punches because that's what boxing needs. If you want to win a fight, I don't care if you are hitting him in the arms or whatever, but you got to throw punches. But you sit there and throw a punch, through punches and wait, and the other guy going to throw punches, you may block him. And he be the aggressor, you're going to look bad in the eyes of the judges. So you have to also do the same. He hit me once, I'm going to hit you twice. You hit me three times, bam, bam, I'm going to hit you four times, bam, 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 bam. You know, that's the way you got to do it. That's the only way you got to get to win. In the eyes of the judges, they see the fighter throwing more punches. You may be not the aggressor, but you're throwing more punches. If you're backing up, at least throw punches backing up.
Bam, bam.
Don't back up and do nothing. anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, we got some good defensive fighters in, going on right now, too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of good guys who, like Billy Joe Saunders.
Yeah.
You look at him, he's all about that hit and don't get
yeah,
hit.
Yeah, yeah. He's like a bit away from Great Britain. Those
exactly.
guys were over there before.
Speaking of Triple G Canelo, he wants that winner. I mean, that's who he wants, and that's...
Yeah,
that's who I think he'll get. I don't know who either one of them. Triple G's trainer was or promoter was already saying, you know, he's instead of a third fight, he's looking for that BJS fight.
Well, you know, Arnold, Abel Sanchez, mm-hmm. Triple G's trainer.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, matter of fact, when we were at ESPN studio, we were doing a special with Julio Cesar Chavez, who just celebrated his 25th anniversary of knocking out Greg Haugen, of which I was the referee. The largest crowd in boxing history.
There
was 132,000 paid fans. But it was like another 4,000 that got in. So it was, they said, like 135, 136,000 fans for that arena. I was there with Julio Cesar Chavez yesterday at the studio. We were reminiscing about that fight. But we also had Abel Sanchez, ESPN game, a trophy for Trainer of the Year.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, for Abel Sanchez.
Hey, isn't he, who did he just, was it Cuadras that he's training
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I believe he's training Cuadras. Yeah, Cuadras
lost that tough decision to Estrada. Every single one of those scorecards had him, all three judges had him 1 point behind, 114,
yeah.
113.
Yeah, well, he's fighting this weekend.
Exactly. I believe McWilliams, Arroyo,
yeah, Arroyo
he's fighting.
Yeah.
And Estrada's fighting Srisaket Sorungvisai.
Exactly.
Who just put down Chocolatito Gonzalez for the second time. That's going to be a good card, man. It's going to be fun and exciting.
It's going to be a great fight this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great weekend of fighting. We said if 2018... can compete with 2017.
It's going to be a great year.
And so far, we're doing pretty good.
We are doing good.
You know?
We are doing good. Exactly. That Danny Garcia fight. And you know who else? Yordanes Ugas. I wanted to make sure
Ugas.
We brought him up. Ugas.
Yeah, the Cuban fighter.
Yes, sir.
Very dangerous fighter. He's a puncher. You know, Ugas, he's from Cuba. He lives here in Las Vegas now. A nice young man. He's very disciplined. Keeps himself in good condition. Man,
he's in an interesting position right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So because Errol Spence Jr., who really badly wants Keith Thurman, Keith Thurman's not going to come back and fight Spence right away. He's got a tune-up fight at least. But
Ugas.
I think Spence will fight Ugas because that's his new IBF mandatory.
Yeah, exactly.
So in order to keep the one belt he has, I think he's going to have to fight Ugas unless he can find a better, which I don't think he will be able to.
Well, that fight Saturday night with Ugas for Ray Robinson, mm-hmm. it was an elimination bout. So, he is in line.
Exactly. And you know? So, unless Spence can get a Sean Porter or some kind of exception, which I don't think he'll be able to by that, I think, May 12th date, April 12th date, then I think he's going to have to end up fighting Ugas, and Ugas is dangerous. But
Ugas is very dangerous. He's a puncher. He's very smart. He has a good trainer. He got Salas as his trainer. He got Joe Casamayo, former three-time world champion, also in his corner. So, he got a good team there working with him.
Absolutely.
And he's very disciplined. A nice young man. He has a little boy about 2.5 years old. He's always running around the gym there while his father's training. Ugas is doing a good job.
Absolutely.
He's 31 years of age.
31.
And but he's had a good
sometimes
background.
Sometimes that's your peak in boxing. Boxers are a little different. Sometimes they age, they get a little wiser, and sometimes they peak young. Sometimes they peak a little older.
Yeah. Well, he's 31 years of age, and he's doing a great job by staying up there as a welterweight contender. And he's definitely going places. He's going to be fighting for the, fighting of probably Spence for the IBF championship, the welterweight championship. So it's going
exactly.
to be a good event.
It should be good. And, I mean, who knows? With the way the welterweight division is right now, it's just dog eat dog. It's a lot of hungry in there.
Yeah. Now, boxing is really on the rise. I'm talking to that young man today, Joey Spencer. He has great talent for being a super welterweight, 154. He's definitely going to be going places. I like his style. We need more young fighters like him. Those are the fighters of the future because they're champions of the future. I remember Canelo Alvarez when he was coming up. Sugar Ray Leonard when he was coming up from the Olympics. Roberto Duran, young fighter. And you have so many young talent. Then developed Floyd Mayweather, who was an outstanding Golden Glove fighter.
Exactly. I just watched his pro debut the other day for the first time in a very long
Who's that?
Time. Floyd Mayweather
Floyd,
Jr.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because he was a power puncher back then.
Yeah.
That's what he was known as. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is a power puncher, and that was his whole style. He was a knockout artist.
Yeah.
It was amazing how many guys he knocked out in his first 25 fights.
And then
to think about him now and how we know him in this day, it's just super funny to see how someone can evolve that much stylistically
And when you talk to a young guy like Joey Spencer, who just came off his pro debut, you wonder, you know, 20 years from now, what his career will have brought. And
exactly.
It's exciting.
Well, I'll tell you, so you talk about 20 years. You can imagine all the fights you're going to have between now and then. And I just said, sometimes these kids, I tell them, keep yourself in tip-top shape because you can be a rising star. Something go wrong. This kid, Felix Verdejo, a Puerto Rican fighter from Puerto Rico, was up and coming, doing real good. All of a sudden, he dropped out of the scope. You don't see, you didn't hear about him. He got into a motorcycle accident. Oh. Right, but then he got injured, so it took him a little while to get back. He came back, had a fight. He didn't look that good, and he hasn't looked good since. And you don't hardly hear him mentioned anymore. And they were talking about him being another Felix Trinidad, which is a great, one of the great ones from Puerto Rico.
A great champion.
A great welterweight and super welterweight champion. But these kids got to take care of themselves. That's why I'm talking about this kid, Joey Spencer. Mm-hmm. He got to take care of himself and make sure he stays on track.
He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's got a good team around him. And he's got a lot of good advice in his ear from all these good, all these big athletes and icons that he's met, including yourself. And it's really, really good to see, honestly. Yeah.
Well, guys, next week we're going to be talking a little bit more about the up-and-coming fights.
Oh, yeah.
We got some good ones coming up here in March.
But also, make sure you turn in Saturday, because Saturday's going to be there's going to be a lot of good fights on Saturday.
Exactly.
A lot of in the flyweight division. We had that Superfly 1, which was amazing. Superfly 2 is coming this weekend. It's going to be exciting. Also, I don't want to neglect George Groves' victory over Chris Eubank Jr. I've been hyping up Eubank since his last... three-round stoppage over Yildirim. I can't remember his last name, but over Yildirim. No. The guy who Eubank Jr. fought in three.
Carl Grove.
No. Groves beat him. But I'm saying his last fight. Yildirim Aves, I think is his name.
Yeah.
And he looked so good in that fight, but going up against somebody in Groves' class, he looked as bad as he did against Saunders back in the day. And I don't know. Unless that kid can get his head on his shoulders, I just don't know. I saw a really interesting thing when you watch a behind the scenes. After the fight, when he's saying, "I think I won. I think I did enough at the end," and he asks his dad, "Well, tell me, do you think he won?" And Eubank Senior looks at him and says, "The decision was the right decision," which was really a tough moment to watch. Well, honestly,
and let's not forget about Brian Viloria.
Oh yeah,
the Hawaiian Punch fighter this coming Saturday as well. He's fighting for the championship.
He's fighting against Artem Dalakian.
Yeah, he's from Thailand, right?
I don't know.
I believe so. He's from Thailand, and it's going to be an interesting fight. Last time I referee Brian Viloria's fight was in Hawaii. I took my grandson Bryce and my wife Sylvia out there for that fight. And that was a good 5-6 years ago.
He's older. He's definitely older. He's 39.
And you look at him and he still acts and looks like a little teenager.
But those are both former champions, both those guys. It should be very exciting. So.
Yeah, well, he said he's going to take that title Saturday night. So let's
see.
He says
it. Yeah, let's see it, baby.
Okay, fans, listen, this is all we got to say for this week. Again, like I always say, keep your guards up at all times. Keep your guards up at all times. And I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch them up. See you next week.